Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples.
Welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. So glad to have you with us today. And I got another good friend. It's my privilege to talk to a lot of friends. But today I'm going to introduce Tim Owens. So total transparency here. Tim has been our advisor and a church member for many years, and he helped us in the very beginning. And we supported Tim's parents as missionaries, and now two of his brothers, Jeff Owens and Nathan Owens, right, Tim? Are serving the Lord of the mission field. Tim was raised on the mission field, so Tim has been a friend and consultant for a long time. So, Tim, this was a topic requested by a listener, okay? So the topic we cover today is, okay, how does a normative-sized church, 50, 7,500, how do they handle the technology challenges based on limited budgets, limited knowledge, limited training, limited workers? And so as I was thinking through, I said, this is be a great podcast, and I got just the person to answer the question. So Tim Owens, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Now let me say this. I say this in the beginning, just like I've done with other professionals. Tim is a professional. He does this for a living. And I highly recommend Tim. I highly recommend his company. But please understand that servants worthy of his hire, and I don't want our listeners to, you know, just try to seek free advice from Tim. That's not the purpose. The purpose of this podcast is not to advertise his company, it's just to educate us. Although Tim, I do highly recommend him as someone to hire to come in to solve problems. So anyway, just wanted to get that disclaimer out of the way first, so they understand that you and I do know each other very well. And I have personal experience with Tim. Our churches have personal experience with Tim for many, many, many years. And that's the reason he's very trustworthy is where I'm trying to go. So that is the reason Tim is the reason we're interviewing him today. Okay, Tim, enough of that now. Let's get on with this. All right, so we pastors, 2 Timothy 4:2, we're told to preach the word. And we study, right? And we prepare. And it's the highlight of our week. But if you come to the pulpit, and people either can't see you or hear you or all this, okay, we have a problem because all of our stewardship of time is going away. All right, so I love it the way when you corresponded with me, and I want you to address this. The first thing you want to address, okay, so what is the purpose of audiovisual technology in the church? So as a sound engineer, as a professional in this world, run with that. So what is the purpose?
Absolutely. And I will say that, you know, my perspective obviously is that the technology is a lot more than just, you know, just technology. It's used as a tool to assist with the delivery of that message, whether it's the gospel, whether it's just simple things like, you know, announcements, whether it's, in worship, but it should be a tool, to assist and come alongside that. With that being said, it should also be an invisible tool. And I don't mean, you know, you obviously visibly, you see the results of, whether it's sermon notes on a display, you hear the results of the speaker and so on. But it should be invisible so that it's not a distraction. You don't want it to overpower or overshadow what's being said, any visual elements or anything like that. But you also don't want it to be a distraction. Either from appearance, the performance of it, or the operation of it. What I mean by that is, you know, all the way from the beginning of, you don't necessarily need a great big massive speaker that maybe is an eyesore in the room. So, you know, having something that's aesthetic that, fits with the church, performance and operation. You want something that works, properly as it should. Yeah. But I think one thing that often happens, and I hear this a lot, you know, when I go into some place and they say, hey, we have these issues or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's even the operation of it. and this isn't even necessarily, sometimes this is a training thing, but if somebody, you know, is slow to turn a microphone on, is this mic on or something like that, you know, it is a detracting factor. Mm. If you're preaching and there's issues and you have to stop a little bit, you know, it just takes away from the message. So that's what I mean by invisible. It comes alongside, it helps and assists with that delivery, but it doesn't detract or remove anything from that. You know, in today's world, we're surrounded by, you know, AV elements, whether it's you're sitting there watching TV at home, whether you're, you know, walking through the mall and there's digital signage, you know, advertisements, you know, you go down the, the road and there's stuff. And so we're constantly bombarded by, you know, audio, video, you know, elements at some point. And in the church, sometimes you may feel like it's, well, I have to keep up and I'm in competition with that, because if somebody comes to church and you sit down and you're there to hear a message and you can barely hear it, but yet you can sit down in front of your TV and you have an ability to turn the volume up, you know, it's, and so through that, it is also, I feel like, a representation of the church as well. And it doesn't mean that it has to be perfect at all. But it just needs to be done in a manner, and operated in a manner that represents that. I've heard from people, you know, they say, well, I don't really like that church because I can't hear the pastor at all.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and so there's, you know, elements like that, you know, just need to, you know, can be addressed. You know, oftentimes I find even doesn't even require, you know, a lot of spending money. It might even be just, you know, some simple calibration or something to that effect. But, you know, through that as well, I don't think that audio video, you don't want it to be a burden to the ministry financially either. Okay. It needs to be an investment. And seeing what it's, once again, if all of your, as you look at, hey, what am I going to do on this project, or I have an issue and I need to fix it, if you look at it through the lens of it's a tool to assist, you know, through that, then you can also look at, okay, great, I'm investing in this because it's going to allow people in my congregation to hear better. Maybe it's, if it's a streaming, allowing people, you know, around the world to you know, watch and hear the gospel.
All right, so I love the way you put it. I like the two words I just want to pick up. One, invisible. Okay, I like that. Okay, because if it's doing well, you really don't, it doesn't stand out. It's the preaching or the singing or whatever. And second, it's a tool. All right, so it should, I love those two words. So as we think about those, everything you just said, and the way I, in my layman's terms, went to you with it, okay, I said, Tim, I see this as sound, and I see it as visuals, and I see it as streaming, and of course you took it a lot, I mean, you really ran with it. Okay, so first, of the three, okay, because you got visuals and you got sound and you got streaming, okay, and I think we came to an agreement, or we didn't, but I think it's commonly that sound should take number one issue, right? Okay, so if you would say, all right, so in those areas, let's break them down. All right, so let's talk about sound. So what aspects of sound, okay, do we need to? Because all we do, we're sitting in the pew. Or we're preaching, and, you know, they can't hear you, or it's not coming off clear, okay? But it's not simply a microphone issue. So run with it. When I say sound to you in what you do, so unpack that for us.
Absolutely. And I think there's two elements to the sound. You know, one of them, immediately we go to, okay, it's the sound system, whether it's the microphones, the, you know, the speakers, the mixing board or whatever. And certainly that is an aspect of it. I'm going to back up just a little bit though and say there's also acoustics is a big portion of that as well.
Right.
You know, if you're already in a building, that's built and everything, it's a little bit harder to maybe treat some of the acoustics and stuff, but that can be dealt with. You know, if you're building a new building, it's a lot easier. You can address some stuff, you know, along the way, but acoustics are often they're undervalued and overlooked. If you're sitting there in the pew or in a chair and constantly you're hearing these echoes, if you have two walls mm-hmm. that are parallel on the hard surfaces, they're just going to echo back and forth. And we've all right. been in a gym and you clap your hands and you hear it just echo for 2, 3, 4 seconds.
Right.
Well, if somebody's sitting there and, you know, and it might not even be the same all around the room, you often hear, well, if I sit over here, I can hear better than, you know, mm-hmm. in another area. Could be acoustics.
Right.
And so, you know, you have what's called natural acoustics in a room. If you go back to some of the, you know, ancient, you know, huge cathedrals and stuff like that that were built, and you could talk on one end and hear really well to the, you know, hear right. great all the way through.
Sure.
You know, a lot of hard surfaces that energy was, acoustic energy was generally projected back, away from wherever the speaker was. A lot of modern buildings, we build a lot of boxes, sometimes fan yeah. shapes, sometimes round yeah. or, you know, and so a lot of those elements don't, that sound now gets kind of focused in an area. Mm. You have a back wall that's parabolic shaped, or you have a ceiling that's domed. You know, all the energy is being focused into certain areas. And so it's difficult for people to hear at times.
Sure.
You can have a phenomenal sound system, and have, you know, great technology, but if the acoustics aren't addressed and dealt with, then it makes it very difficult for people to hear, especially, you know, if anybody that might have some hearing constraints, that's something that generally yeah, comes sure. up a lot as well. It just, you know, they feel like there's, you know, just so much going on, and it's hard to really distinguish, intelligibility. So that's, you know, that, so going back to acoustics, that's something that's really, I think, forefront and needs to be addressed and thought through first. And then obviously just with the speaker system, making sure that it covers all of the areas in the room. You know, sometimes it's, I've gone into places and they say, hey, you know, we can't hear very well in here. And I'll look up and ask, oh, well, no wonder the speakers are pointed in an entirely, you know, different direction right. than when you would want them to be. Mm. So sometimes, you know, with issues, it's just simply, you know, stuff like that. But,
all right. So let me ask you a question. So, all right. So if I said, okay, Tim, this is what, the volume's not consistent. Could that be, I mean, so I guess the question is, do you start with the equipment? Do you start with acoustics? Or are you saying, no, you can't separate them. They've got to work hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is a point where you can work around bad acoustics.
Okay.
With a sound system that is, but there, you also have to recognize that there's always going to be some limitations. Importance between the two. 90% of the time, the sound system is priority over addressing acoustics.
Okay.
You know, and we often, you know, sometimes if we're, you know, putting a new system in or something like that, we'll address acoustics along with it at the same time. But acoustics is one of those things too that you don't have to spend a lot of money on it necessarily, mm. right. But it needs to be addressed because it really will help facilitate the performance of the audio system.
All right, so let me ask you this: so you've got piano in some churches, piano organ, some churches piano keyboard, acoustic guitar, some churches other things, and then you got. The music aspect, you got the spoken aspect, right? And I mean, plus some churches have wooden pews, some churches have padded chairs, some churches have carpet. So there are so many variables that we pastors just don't think about. All right. So what I just want to challenge the pastors is, okay, I would say you invest your time in preaching and then bring somebody else in, let them invest there to figure this out. Is that fair to put it that way? I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not trying to make it too complicated, but yeah. I don't want to make it sound like, okay, just buy something off eBay and set it up and away you go.
Absolutely. Here's the good thing about acoustics. It's all physics. It's all predictable.
Okay.
You know, we have, you know, there's acoustic engineers who can design stuff. Mm-hmm. We have software where you can go, you know, model a room. So as opposed to, you know, I've had people that will go and, like you say, they'll go on on Amazon or someplace and buy a bunch of, you know, acoustic panels, put it on the wall, spend a lot of money, and then it still didn't work. And then we can end up fixing it for a lot less. And it's, you know, sometimes just, you know, it's a great thing is it is predictable. It is physics. And so it's, you know, it's just math and figuring out what the best solution is for that. So it's not, it's definitely not something, you know, that you want to, needs to be intimidating to address.
All right. So it shouldn't be intimidating to address, but then again, it's not something you can go watch on YouTube and just come and say, okay, fix this. Is that a fair way to say it? I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I don't want, you know, people wasting time and money on something they don't know anything about.
And I think that's true no matter what area of the technologies we talk through it. I think it's important to find a good, you know, recognize that in some areas of this technology, you know, look to a professional, find a professional that you trust. It might be, you know, talking to another church, you know, seeing what they use and stuff, and find somebody and then, you know, work with them and trust them through that process. So,
All right. So you got, first sound and then you got sight. Okay. So let's talk about that. You know, the seeing part of it.
Yeah. And I would kind of break that down into two aspects. One of them, I would call presentation video. And I would say that's what you're showing. So I would,
you mean projector screens, you mean
projectors, screens. Yeah, absolutely. And I would see that as kind of a second priority typically, because that's, whether that's sermon notes, it could be, you know,
lyrics, it could be anything.
Lyrics, video, report from a missionary, you know, showing a video or whatever. So that I would see, because that is something you can't really replace. You know, audio, obviously, you need, you're there to hear.
Right.
You need to be able to hear. And then secondly, you need to be able to see what's being presented. You know, and there's several different ways of that you can address video. Obviously, the historical version has been with projection. You know, we now we're able to do a lot more with larger displays.
Like a flat screen?
Flat screens, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. You know, and sometimes you run into the buildings too big to be able to do that. There's some other ways of doing it. There's also sometimes you, you know, if you have a lot of light shining on your projection screen, for example, you know, it looks really washed out. And so sometimes it's a matter of, you know, well, I can't really see that very good. Well, maybe it's other elements. So projection is great. You can do a larger screen, but it does need controlled light on the screen itself. Because ultimately what happens is that projector is shining on a white surface.
Right.
And your eye is perceiving the absence of any light as a white, you know, as opposed to, you know, if you have a display, a flat screen TV, the absence of light is black. So there's a lot of contrast difference. So that's why if you look at a display, if we can get away with using a larger display on the wall, great. You can actually see, for the same size, you can see a lot better. It's a lot easier to distinguish the text.
Right.
That's up there. You know, and so there's that to consider as well. But with a projector, because that white on the wall or on the screen, whatever you're shining on, is what your eye is perceiving as black. If there's a lot of ambient light in the room, whether it's from windows, whether it's even, you know, lights from, you know, architectural lights in the ceiling that are washing it out. If you can control lighting, you know, around the screens, that, that will help, you know, be able to see them a lot better.
So can I ask you, it's a first question to me. So would you always, because of what you just said, okay, so if wherever you are in thinking through this, some churches I go in, I'm in a lot of different churches, you just flip on a switch and the lights are on. Other churches have adjustable lighting. All right, so wouldn't it be preferred if you're doing something or working towards a project, and we'll get to it because I know you recommend long-range planning, you know, how you're going to tackle all this. But really, the auditorium lighting, the sanctuary lighting, should be able to be controlled from some point. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I sure would, yeah. You know, and that gets into the other part of, you know, what we see is the lighting aspect of it.
Yeah.
Lighting,
but the lighting does affect the video presentation, right?
It absolutely does. If you're washing it out and everything, you're not going to be able to see that.
So now let's shift to lighting in the sanctuary of the auditorium. We've all seen bad lighting. Okay. Yep. Either the spotlight on the speaker, and then you don't have enough light to take notes, or you can't see hardly the speaker. Is he really there? I mean, I know that's two extremes. Okay. But just address the lighting in the auditorium in general and attack it from there.
And a lot of times people don't think of it as being part of the AV or technology or anything, but it all affects and it all helps create that invisible tool. Either helps it or hurts it. The lighting, obviously we initially go to saying, okay, on the platform, can we see, whoever's speaking? We've all seen the rooms where you've got, you can't see the speaker at all, or I like to call it raccoon eyes. The light is actually up above and slightly behind their head. And so their face is hard to distinguish.
Yeah.
And just subconsciously, it's really hard for somebody sitting there to really kind of connect to that person, speaking. It feels awkward. It's not inviting to new guests and so on. So just having some smooth lighting across to help. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to make it a performance. It doesn't have to make it, overly bright. It can be the same brightness level as rest of the room, but just filling that with even light. Mm. But it also goes to the aspect of even just in the audience there. If you're sitting there and it's really sparsely lit or very dim and you're trying to read your Bible, you can't for that either. And so having adequate lighting is important. Being able to control it. You bring up a very good point with that. Being able to control it, because there might be times that, you want to really dim the lights by the screens or, throughout the entire room or whatever. So being able to control that. Color temperature also makes a big difference.
Let's hang on a second. All right. So
sure.
And what we mean by that, we're recording this in October. Beginning of November is where we are. And we start thinking about, in our world, Christmas Eve services, right? And that means candlelight. So, you need to be able to control the lights just for that as well as other things. I'm thinking not only on Sunday morning, but I'm thinking choirs, I'm thinking children's choirs, I'm thinking all the specials. You think of everything the church does without control lighting. It really would be difficult to make it look right or make it look pleasant or make it, acceptable, if I can use that word. So the audience is again, go back to what you said in the beginning. So really it becomes invisible. So you're able to concentrate on the message or the song or the special or the video presentation, right? So I just wanted to bring that back in.
And it can be just as, some thoughts and everything, going through that. It can even be just when everybody's on the platform and you've got a choir up there and everything, the choir area may be lit as well, specifically just during the choir special, whatever. And then it can get dimmed down and after they leave and go sit down and it's just the pastor up there, maybe it's just that area that's lit. And that way that allows the light to be dimmed a little bit. It's not off, but the light be dimmed a little bit for the screens that typically are going to be, on the wall behind, to allow, people to see the sermon notes a little bit better. But it can be just, it can be slow transitions from, one scene or the other. That control could be simply, sometimes it's a bank of a bunch of switches and dimmers on the back wall. Sometimes it's a little bit more of a control system where you can create presets.
All right. So as all of this is working together, again, as we're trying to, the preaching of the word, the presentation of the word, the worship through whatever scripture reading or music, whatever we're doing during the worship service. All right. So now all that's internal, but again, we want it done right because in today's world, most churches are streaming or then broadcasting whatever word you want to use there to the outside, whether it be shut-ins or whatever it may be. All right, so now as we transitioned, we now can hear okay, all right, and that's consistent. And now lighting's not an issue, okay, so we got that under control. And now the third element we'll talk about would be, okay, the streaming side of things. Okay, now with that, we got cameras, we got a way to do it, we got, you know, so, I mean, where, all right, so, I mean, I think during COVID, everybody had to start doing something. All right, so we got that, all right. But so I'm assuming our audience that most people are already streaming. Okay. Now, so if you went to a church and you wanted to review where they are, okay, with the streaming, they said, Tim, we need help. Where do you even start reviewing that, Tim?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the first things I'm going to want to look at is just I'm going to want to see, you know, what their video looked like.
Okay.
Some key aspects to that. You don't need the fanciest camera. You don't need, you know, the most expensive equipment. Sometimes some of the better things I've seen are some just simple. They're using some of the principles adequately. So what I mean by that is if I'm sitting there watching, you know, a webcast of a church, and I feel like there, I see the entire stage, and I also see some people sitting in the front row, and I see a little kid that's sitting there, you know, doing this the whole time. It's just distracting.
Yeah.
As opposed to if I, you know, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm seeing a nice, you know, head to waist shot of the pastor. It's now the size is appropriate. It feels engaging. It feels like I can connect. I feel like he's talking to me. And as opposed to just a big, you know, ambient room, you know, so just some simple aspects, like that is if there's movement, if the pastor's walking back and forth, are they staying in the frame or they, you know, end up, you know, and so maybe it's a handheld operated camera and somebody's on a tripod moving it back and forth. Yeah. It might be a, you know, robotic camera and somebody's operating it with a joystick.
Yeah.
You know, and there might be a point where if somebody moves a lot, okay, great. Maybe you don't focus in, you know, and zoom in so close, you know.
Or you talk to the pastor and say, look, you're causing us, I can walk too much, okay. So it's always important to know. It is, you know. So, I mean, the speaker needs to know, okay, if you're recording this, what is my zone to walk, right? I mean, this is important. Because, again, I love the way you said in the beginning, you don't want any of this to be a distraction. And that can become a distraction as a pastor if I'm not in tune with what they need me to do.
And I think an important thing as well, you know, just from a practical standpoint, is wherever that camera is, you know, making eye contact with that camera. You know, really helps to engage and feel like, you know, because if you're watching it, you don't want to just simply feel like, oh, I'm just watching a recording of something that took place. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the message that's being presented is a very important message. And so, you know, I've heard so many stories about people that, you know, in other countries that you didn't even, you know, they maybe barely knew English, but ran across some webcast and you know, of a church. And you just never know. Once you're pushing it out there on the web, you don't know. And so obviously the message that we have to share is very important. And that is a very powerful tool. So, you know, making it distraction free and everything is important. You know, and then, so you mentioned, okay, well, what do I look at? That's the first thing I'm going to look at is, you know, that.
Okay.
The second thing, and then looking through that, okay, great. Sometimes lighting is so dim that you can't really, it feels like I can't really even see, you know, facial features or, you know, facial expressions. And so you lose some of, you know, just the method in which, you know, the whatever's being said, you know, the message is being stated. Just if you can't see facial expressions and stuff,
sure,
sometimes you lose that. Also, if somebody's flipping through, you know, looking at different webcasts and so on, and all of a sudden there's one that just looks horrible, they're probably going to move on. It's the unfortunate, you know, reality of, you know, where we are. I think another thing too, to keep in mind, is there's a lot of people that, you know, to find out about a church and do they want to attend, immediately go and they try to find, you know, a webcast and watch it. And so, in that regard, going back to some of the stuff we talked about before, how that's done is a representation of that individual church and you know, church as a whole.
All right, so can we park right there a minute? Can we park? Okay, because I'm glad you brought that up. So, all right, so pastors, take off your technology thinking right now and put on this. And it's common knowledge, but I just want to reemphasize it because Tim brought it up, and it's such a valuable point. People are going to your website for their visit, your church, and they're going to see what your service is like because they want to make sure they fit. They want to make sure they don't stand out when they walk in. They want some idea of what they're getting into when they come visit your church. So what Tim just said, you've got to consider this more. I mean, we think of it as, all right, well, nobody needs to watch our service. You know, they need to be in the church. Well, I got news for you. They want to see what you're like before they come. So one of the best outreaches you could do was to have a good video representation of your church service where they really can see. So it's not simply, so everything Tim's talking about is also an outreach tool for people in your community to know who you are, how you worship, what you do. And so the way this is done, and we'll get to budgets in a minute, we're not spending a gazillion dollars, but with some fine-tuning, this can be one of the best outreach tools you have. Okay, so I just had to park there for a minute. Okay, go
absolutely
ahead.
No, it's such a great point. You know, and as we look at, you know, I call it broadcast video. It doesn't mean it's being broadcast on TV.
Right.
It just, it's being recorded and sent. I mean, it's used in so many other aspects too, not just outside of the building, but even just, you know, getting video to the nursery for the nursery workers, maybe to a lobby, to an overflow area.
Yep.
You know, if you're running out of room, you know, that's a great way that you can, you know, kind of bridge that gap between where you can fit right now and maybe potentially a project to, you know, bigger, you know, sanctuary down the road. So there's so many different aspects of that. You know, another thing too, you know, a lot of people start out with one camera and that's great. You know, and they say, okay, where do I go next? You know, and maybe they haven't really been doing any text overlay or anything. Cause that's another thing. If you want to, you could overlay, you know, sermon notes, you could overlay, you know, lyrics or whatever on top of that as well. So that's one thing that you can do fairly simply. And the other thing is just a second camera shot.
Because cameras are not that expensive anymore, right?
They are not. And it all depends on, you know, exactly what you're looking for and stuff like that. But no, you don't have to break the bank at all to get another camera. And what that does is when you switch back and forth, and it just kind of breaks up a little bit of the always looking one way. You know, and typically what we'll find, you know, and people say, okay, well, great, I want to put a second camera. Where do I put it? First question I always ask is, okay, you know, which direction does a pastor, you know, turn and look to a lot? Whether they realize it or not, people typically have a particular side that they, you know, turn towards.
Yeah.
And so if you know that, then we'll typically place the camera on that, you know, looking from that direction. That way, if they turn and they look that direction, you can now engage that camera and now they're talking back to looking towards you.
All right. So Tim, as we think about this, let's talk about, master planning, long range budget planning, how are we going to attack this problem? How do I, you know, do I buy new equipment? Do I just go on eBay? What do I do with this? Where do I start? So first deal with how do you develop a long range plan? All right, we've already covered sound. All right, we've covered lighting for the platform, for the choir, whatever. We've covered lighting for cameras. We've covered, you know, how to use visuals within and without. Okay, so talk to me about setting a long range plan. You know, people are talking about, okay, now we want the new lights in, you know,
Yeah. And I think, you know, no matter whether you are somewhere, you know, where it's you don't know where to go. You got problems. Or whether you know that you're gonna do an upfit, you know, upfit some technology or a new building. No matter where, I think it's always important to just, you know, before you step into anything, step back and say, okay, great. Reverse while recognizing that it should be a tool. And then figuring out what are your goals, you know, with the ministry. And what I mean by that is, okay, right now we're not really too worried about, we're not trying to do a lot of webcast stuff, but we're just trying to get it better in here because we currently have people they can't hear. Okay, great. Okay. So now you know which direction to go. Second of all, I would encourage, you know, find a company that values and understands church and technology in church. There's okay. plenty of companies out there that, you know, they'll sell you a microphone. They'll sell you a mixing board, but they don't understand church. They don't understand, you know, how it should be used in church.
Right.
And why that's so important is not only you need to find somebody that can not only help you pick the right product, help, you know, get it put in, but also help train in the proper manner.
Can you stop there again? Help do what? Train, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure,
okay, because if they don't know what they're doing, you can't just, okay, I just...
Yeah, I often tell, you know, people, I say, you know, a lot of times the churches are saying, hey, you know what, good stewardship is, you know, I'm trying to find what the least expensive product is, but I often tell them, no, you know what, good stewardship starts with me. It starts with the products that I choose, or I'm sorry, recommend, but even more so, it is how well can I train your people how to use it?
Yep.
Because let's face it, you could put in the best microphones and the best speakers and the best, you know, flat screen TVs, and everybody can see great. But if you don't know how to adequately use it, I've gone into so many places where they say, hey, you know, we just need a new system. And the first thing I'll say is, well, okay, let's turn it on. Let's listen to it a little bit. And sometimes with just a little bit of some calibration, a little bit of training,
right,
all of a sudden they realize, you know what, maybe we could upgrade it down the road, but right now we're not in as desperate a place as we need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a good first step, you know, no matter what, is to evaluate where you want to go.
Right.
Kind of develop a plan of how you want to get there and find a good partner, AV partner that can help you through that.
Right.
And can help advise you in that, because it might not even be, hey, I need new equipment. It might be just simply, you know, maybe a little bit of augmentation, a few pieces here and there.
Sure.
Properly, you know, making sure that it's installed and calibrated right, and then training. But that's so important, because and the training, even just in, you know, hey, you know, make sure you're ready. If somebody's getting ready to walk up to the pulpit, let's make sure the microphone's on before they get up there.
Right.
Aspects like that, they go back into, you know, it being an invisible tool, that when it works right, you forget it's there.
Right.
You want people to sit there in the congregation and just not even, you don't want them to have to even think about the fact, oh, that didn't go great. You know, because if they come in for church, they listen to a sermon, they worship, and they walk out those doors and they never think about the AV or the technology aspect. That's a win.
Amen.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, because then it's an invisible tool that's helping. Yep. You know, and then as you go through and you evaluate what product and stuff, just a couple of things that I would say, you know, creating that master plan, so that way, as you know, you don't have to put everything in at one time. In fact, sometimes I think one of the biggest pitfalls is churches feel the burden or the pressure that, hey, I've got to do all this now. Mm. So what ends up happening is, with a limited budget, is they, you know, cut corners, do it on the cheap, buy, you know, low cost equipment that maybe doesn't perform the best, rather than saying, you know what, here's where we want to go. We recognize we can't get there tomorrow, but we can do it in phases. We can do it in phases where they build on each other. And you know, through that, then, when I say build on each other, don't put something in that then maybe partway through you have to pull it back out, but that way you're getting a good quality product. It goes back to, it's an investment. It doesn't need to be a burden, as they go through that. You know, there's times when, in order to, you know, be able to fit more into a budget constraint, you could, you know, possibly find some used equipment.
Sure.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think, right, though, that you need to recognize there, all equipment has a lifespan.
Yes.
And you don't know how it's been handled. If it's coming from a good, you know, someplace that you know, okay, great, it was taken care of.
Sure.
The other thing I would caution is there's a multi-billion dollar industry of knockoff equipment from China.
Oh, really? You mean like a label that we're used to seeing? Mm-hmm. It's just a knockoff. It's an imitation, counterfeit, whatever.
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
So I've run into a lot of people that will say, hey, you know, I bought this and it doesn't seem to work right. Or we'll actually get people that'll bring stuff into us for service and we go digging through it and we're like, we call the company and give them the serial number and they're like, that's not our serial number.
Wow.
It's something that, you know, the government works very hard on that. I know there's, you know, a lot of equipment gets destroyed, you know, in customs coming in. But that is a big aspect.
Let me back up there. So what you're telling me, right now I'm using a Shure mic. Okay, that's the brand, and it's a very good podcast mic. So what you're saying is there are imitations that will put the label on there. It'll look just like this, and it'll be advertised as that, but it won't be that. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. I can show you plenty of places where you can buy Shure equipment you would, if you look at it. In fact, we've even taken some apart, and it's very difficult to tell the difference. There is a performance difference between the two, and it's going to fail a lot sooner.
Right.
And so it's important to buy equipment from an authorized dealer. If you have a problem, also buy equipment from someplace that's going to be there to assist. If you just get it from someplace that, you know, hey, you know what? You found it was really cheap on the internet. I hope it comes in, you know, one of those kind of places.
Yep. I understand.
But then when you have a problem and you're like, I don't know which connector to plug into where.
Yeah.
You all of a sudden don't have anybody to call. So get it from somebody that is there to assist as well and can support it and help train it and or train you on it. And that way, once again, I would say that's good stewardship is not only, you know, picking the right thing, you know, being, you know, efficient in how you're spending the money, but also making sure that it's, you know, you have somebody that can help you support that, train you on how to use it properly.
All right. So let me go back and recap this and I'll give you the final word in just a second. So Tim Owens has been explaining his whole, you know, everything from the big picture, which I appreciate. So we started with this saying that the AV, the audiovisual technology, I think the way Tim worded it, is a tool to assist the delivery of God's word or the music or whatever is being done, but is a tool. And we all know when it doesn't work, but what Tim is saying is his goal is for it to be invisible so you don't even know that it's there. And I think, again, we broke it into sound, we broke it into visuals, and then we broke it also into, you know, streaming. However that visual would take place, both internally, nursery, lobby, as well as externally. And I think the key would be on our website. It's going to be a service that should look representative of our church, and that is also going to be an outreach tool. Okay, so, Tim, that was a 20-second summary. All right, so if everything was said, and I'll let you take a deep breath here. Okay, so how do you want to wrap this up? What's the challenge or the how would you like to challenge a church to think finally about this? We talk about long-term planning, a master plan, quality equipment, the best at what you don't. You don't have to spend a lot of money, okay? But wrap it up for us. What would you like to say?
I think it's just, you know, just an encouragement that, you know, it's technology isn't something that you need to be afraid of, but recognize the powerful tool that it is. You know, and as you approach it, you know, approach it with, I'll say excellence in mind, because remembering that you want it to be that invisible tool that helps. But you also need to recognize that, you know, it does reflect how it's used, the performance of it does reflect, the church. But then again, it's an investment. You never want to, you know, make it a burden to the ministry. in the financial aspect of it.
Yeah, good point.
And it's, you know, it doesn't, you don't need all the bells and whistles. You really don't. You don't need, and if you recognize, hey, this is a tool, you know, for the delivery of the gospel and to assist the ministry, whether that's in that building or, you know, around the world, if you recognize it in that manner, I think it's better to get, you know, equipment that fulfills your needs.
Yeah.
But okay. Maybe you can buy more of it. You know, recognize you maybe don't have to have the absolute best camera for, you know, a webcast, but it's better to have a camera, and be able to webcast.
Sure.
But then there's other aspects too that you may say, hey, you know what? This is where we want to go. We're better. Yep. Let's just save up a little bit longer.
Yep.
And do this properly rather than, you know, try to cut, you know, budget and then not do it well at all.
I'll just put in a plug for people like Tim all across the country that a good audio, a good AV advisor consultant really can enhance your ministry in wonderful ways. And so I would say, you know, contact somebody locally, like Tim said, that can assist you and help you find equipment that you need. Versus just going, you know, random and never working. And then also training your technicians. So, again, Tim Owens, it's been great having you today. Again, a listener requested this. So whether you're a church of 25, 50, 100, I think everything Tim has told you, or a church of 1,000, I think everything Tim has addressed can be applied to you. And if you want to talk to Tim, you can email me, mfant@gfamissions.org, mfant@gfamissions.org. And if I can put you in touch with Tim, and then you can go directly to him or someone like him. But again, this was a listener-requested podcast, so if you have other topics you'd like for me to cover, be happy and let me know. Tim, thank you so much for your time and all your effort and your preparation, because you sent me some good notes, and I greatly appreciate that. Absolutely. So thanks for listening. Appreciate all the staff at GFA that makes this happen, both, and here we go, in the audio-video world that makes it happen for this podcast. So, Tim, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time today.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.